رمضان
رمضان
رمضان نايتس on البيان راديو.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of Ramadan Nights. I'm your host Abu Abdurrahman, and once again I'm happy and honored to be joined by my dear beloved brother Sheikh Khalid Muhammad.
Barakallahu feekum. Wallah, it's good to be back, alhamdulillah. And I was saying that it's good to have started the month يعني on Al-Bayan, and pretty much ending or near ending the month on Al-Bayan as well.
Sheikh, yeah, just for our listeners listening on 107.9 FM, we will be to the end of Ramadan on 107.9 FM and on our app 24/7 365 a year bi-idhnillah ta'ala. It's the 29th night. What does that mean? Like, when does Ramadan finish?
يعني subhanallah, the 29th night, as we know, pretty much this could possibly be the last night of Ramadan. So as you said, Sheikh, earlier, that the night precedes the day. So alhamdulillah, inshallah ta'ala, يعني tomorrow, obviously, the moon will be attempted to be sighted according to the local regional, which obviously ASWJ is following. And inshallah ta'ala, if the moon is sighted, of course, tomorrow night, that would mean that Ramadan is over. So this would be the last night of Ramadan. And of course, if that isn't the case, يعني, and the continuation occurs, of course, we complete the month 30 days and 30 nights, of course. So as we said, that this could possibly be the last night. And of course, يعني, the believer, he strives to the last moment. And really, there is no last moment except death. There is no last moment except
وَعَبُدْ
death.
رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ نَسِيءٍ.
So, you know, worship your Lord until death reaches you, death gets to you. So the believer, يعني, of course, Ramadan might be coming to an end, which of course is our topic tonight, farewelling Ramadan. But in reality, يعني, the believer continues to strive and struggle to the day that he leaves this existence.
Sheikh, before we begin our topic of farewelling Ramadan, it is the 29th night and it is the odd night. So potentially, it is Laylatul Qadr. I feel... And, you know, give me your input and your feedback and what you think, that the 29th night of Ramadan is probably the most neglected night of Ramadan.
Yeah, I agree as well, subhanAllah. These nights especially, you see a lot of families dedicating themselves to organizing celebrations, organizing, you know, their nights or their days of Eid, sorry, and things like this. So definitely it is a neglected night, and likewise a neglected day, subhanAllah. But as we know, it is an odd night, and it is possible that it could be Laylatul Qadr tonight, subhanAllah. So try your best, as we said, to utilize the nights, utilize, of course, the day of fasting as much as possible, and don't get too caught up, yani, with the preparing for celebrations yet. And subhanAllah, yani, even though it is something that usually is said, goes in one ear out the other for many, but wallahi, how many people could be alive today and not even reach Eid, which is, you know, as we know, only a couple of days away, and as we said, could possibly be the last night and day of fasting tomorrow or today, yani. Definitely it is neglected. And we also remind the brothers of the statement of many of the ulama regarding worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal in times and at times when other people are negligent. And that's why we said, coming into Ramadan, the month of Sha'ban, we said that is the, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to it, a month which many are heedless or neglect. So we need to be very careful. So the ulama would say that worship is more rewarded and rewarding at times when people are neglecting and neglectful. And that's why, even, you know, for example, walking into the market or the shops, yani, the dua has so much reward. Praying tahajjud when the people are sleeping, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yani, to pray the night when the people are sleeping, and things like this. So we remember, as we said, the hadith also of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that worship in a times of fitna or times of turmoil and the likes is like a hijrah to me. Once again, why? Because of the way that people neglect. So when you, whilst the people are neglecting, utilize that time, that season, those days, whatever it is, those nights, etc., when you utilize that in the worship of Allah and others are neglecting, there's more reward there, inshallah.
Now, Sheikh, our topic is farewelling Ramadan. So we'd like to get some feedback from our listeners who are watching on YouTube, Albayan Radio Australia, or on our Facebook pages, ASWJ Australia and Albayan Radio Australia, and listening on 107.9 FM or on the our app. Let us know how you feel Ramadan went for you, and how do you plan to feel Ramadan? How do you feel when Ramadan? How you feel Ramadan went for you, and how you plan to farewell Ramadan? Let us know, and inshallah, we'll mention your feedback, comments on the program. Sheikh, let's get straight into it.
Yeah, and subhanallah, Sheikh, saying that, I feel like personally this was like the quickest Ramadan that went. Wallahi, yani, like I was saying up in the pre-Tarawih talk, that it still feels to me like we're listening to reminders and I'm giving reminders or we're hearing reminders, etc. It's as if we're still speaking about Ramadan's coming. prepare for Ramadan. And already, subhanAllah, we see that Ramadan is coming to an end. And of course, the believer, يعني, he feels that sense of disappointment, of course, on such a great time and great season, leaving and departing, subhanAllah. But those who did well for themselves. And those who didn't, يعني, then in reality, they are the losers. But as we said, that they can only blame themselves as well. They can only blame themselves. And that's actually part of a hadith where the hadith Qudsi, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ibadi, O my slaves, innama hiya a'malukum uhsiha lakum, thumma uwafikum iyaha. O my slaves, it is your deeds, or indeed it is your deeds that I record for you, and then I recompense you for that. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Whoever sees good, you know, that they did good, they said good, etc., they find good, then let them praise Allah. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. And whoever finds other than that, then let him only blame himself. And that's a point we're going to come to shortly, inshallah, Sheikh. But wallah, personally, I find that it went so quick, which is another hadith, of course, of the signs of the hour, and from the last of the minor signs of the hour, is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتقارب الزمن, that the hour will not be established until time passes rapidly. فتكون السنة كالشهر والشهر كالأسبوع أو كالجمعة والجمعة كاليوم ويكون اليوم كالساعة والساعة كالضرمة بالنار. That a year will become like a month will become like a week will become like a day will become like an hour, and an hour will become like a flicker of flame, or flicker of a flame. So subhanAllah, يعني, as I said, I still feel like we're still hearing and giving reminders about preparing for Ramadan, let alone Ramadan already coming and leaving, subhanAllah. And this is something we've all felt, as we previously have mentioned too, that time's just going so quickly, subhanAllah.
And it is a bit of a different Ramadan, the Sheikh, because of, you know what, probably, you know, talking about my lifetime, or one of the, you know, hardest things to for any Muslim to see happening to his brothers and sisters in Gaza. May Allah aid them and support them and give them victory. It's not easy to, especially, you know, we tell many of the brothers, you know, don't overconsume. Yes, be aware and spread awareness. But seeing some of the images and videos we're seeing every day, it is going to harm you and it is going to affect you. And this may have affected our Ramadans.
No doubt, subhanAllah. And this is the believer. Alhamdulillah, that's actually a sign of belief. Yani, from the signs of the hypocrites is that they get happy and they rejoice over the you know, problems of the ummah, if you'd like to say, and the status or the state in a negative way of the ummah. And from the signs of the believer is that they feel for their brothers and sisters, no, just like it's like themselves, as we know the hadith regarding the body staying up, yani, with the fever and the likes, that if one part gets affected, the whole body gets affected. For this is a sign of faith, inshaAllah ta'ala. But no doubt that you know, it is a different Ramadan with everything going on, and this is another reason as well to thank Allah Azza wa Jal that we are not in that test, and no, we are not in that predicament. Because at the end of the day, how many, for example, might be seeing these things, but if they were in their shoes, subhanAllah, how many could become, you know, ungrateful, could become, يعني, Allahu Alam, you know, could say words, for example, which go against the decree, which go against the Sharia, things like this. So we thank Allah Azza wa Jal that Alhamdulillah He has not tested us with this, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, constantly to relieve our brothers and sisters and alleviate the pain, the suffering, and of course the oppression and transgression of the enemies, subhanAllah. So definitely we've had, I think in the last few years, a few different Ramadans, COVID as well, not too long ago. So we also thank Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanAllah, contemplating upon that we're able to come to the masajid, we're able to hear, subhanAllah, the Ramadan where many of us were stuck at home because of COVID. We're speaking to a lot of brothers after that. There was many that were saying to me that they couldn't even pray Taraweeh. Many of them couldn't even read the Quran, let alone pray, and things like this. So when we tell them that it's sufficient to recite one chapter, one verse, for example, not even, you know, just the Fatiha, many of them, subhanAllah, you know, naturally would not do this. They'd be lazy. So wallahi, there is so much to thank Allah Azza wa Jal for. And that's a point, and that would be the first point that we mentioned regarding farewelling Ramadan, and pretty much what's next, you know, what's next now, once Ramadan departs, if Allah gives us the health, the life, etc., what's next after that? From the first steps is to thank Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is from the way of the pious and subhanAllah of the righteous. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has blessed us with so many blessings, and from the etiquettes of the believer is that he constantly thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal mentions, as we mentioned likewise in the pre-Ramadan talk, He says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُرُ. Only a few of my slaves are indeed grateful, subhanAllah. Don't be like those many or those majority that don't thank and are not grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal, rather be as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be, a grateful slave, a thankful slave, as Allah Azza wa Jal described Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he said, Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanita lillahi hanifa wa lam yakun minal mushrikeen shakiran li an'umih. From the first of the traits which Allah Azza wa Jal gives to Ibrahim from them, after mentioning a little bit that he was an ummah and he was obedient to his Lord, inclining towards at-tawheed, inclining away from ash-shirk and the likes, he says shakiran li an'umih. He was one who was grateful for the blessings which Allah Azza wa Jal bestowed. And Allah says about Nuh alayhi salam that he was a slave which was shakur. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Indeed, he was a thankful and grateful slave. So it's upon us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be grateful that Allah has allowed us to reach this month, and insha'Allah ta'ala allowed us to reach Laylatul Qadr. And we also refer obviously to the hadith of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and likewise the ayat where Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. And there are multiple verses. Allah says, however, most of the people, they do not give thanks. And giving thanks is something actually that you need Allah for as well. You need Allah to guide you, and you need Allah to guide you to being thankful. As Sulaiman alayhi salam, the dua which Allah mentions to us, Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala waliday. O my Lord, bless me, or grant me, bestow upon me the power, the ability, that I may be grateful for the favors which you bestowed upon me and my parents. So subhanallah, you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide you and to guide you to the acts of worship. And I'll end with this point regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's advice to Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, where he said, O Mu'adh, indeed I love you, or verily I love you, O Mu'adh. He repeated it twice. And then he gave him the advice, because as we know, brothers and sisters, when you love someone, you advise them. When you love someone, you want them to be better. Like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. The believer is the mirror of a believer. So just like, for example, you wake up, or when you want to leave the house and the likes, you don't want to see anything, you know, that is disliked. You don't want to see anything disgusting. You don't want to see anything, for example, like this on your clothing, on your beards, on your hair, etc., etc. Just like you don't want to do this regarding the physical. Likewise, even if you see something metaphorical, if you'd like to say in your brothers, your sisters, etc., you should try to correct that to the best of your ability. So he advises him. He says, "Inni usika ya Mu'adh." Indeed, I'll advise you, O Mu'adh. He says, "La tada'anna fi duburi kulli salatin an taqul." Do not leave off at the end of every prayer, except that you, or do not leave off at the end of every prayer that you say. And then he mentions the du'a, "Allahumma a'inni 'ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni 'ibadatik." O my Lord, O Allah, help me and assist me to remember you, and also to be grateful, to be thankful to you, and to worship you well. So being thankful and grateful is the characteristics of the righteous and the pious. It is from the characteristics of the believers, and this is something we should constantly, subhanallah, be doing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani being grateful towards him subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Excellent, Sheikh. That's the first thing. Let's thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings, or the blessings we can't even count. That's how many they are. Moving on to the next point, Sheikh, in terms of farewelling Ramadan.
The next point, subhanAllah, is to always feel a shortcoming as well with the actions. And this is so important, brothers and sisters, that no matter what you do, no matter what you've done, that you always feel that I can do better. You always feel that sense of taqseer. And this isn't to say that you think, wal'iyadu billah, negatively of Allah Azza wa Jal. We think the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we hope from Allah Azza wa Jal that He accepts our actions and our good deeds, and He forgives our sins. But you should always feel, so that you don't get deceived and deluded and diverted and the likes, you should always feel that I can do better. And maybe I didn't do this to the best of my ability, or the way that Allah Azza wa Jal wants it done exactly. So that way it pushes you, motivates you, and encourages you to do better, to constantly strive to better yourself, to better your acts and the likes. So we should always try our best, subhanAllah, to thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Then after the action as well, we also look at our action and we feel that sense of shortcoming, and we seek forgiveness for that and the likes. And subhanAllah, just the hadith where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said regarding the verse, الَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. That, and those who give their charity, and the ulama said also other deeds, those that give that which they give, they do that which they do whilst their hearts are full of fear, full of fear. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, ahum al-rajul alladhi yazni wa yasriq wa yashrab al-khamr. Is that the man that pretty much steals? Is that the man that commits zina and steals and drinks alcohol? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la ya binta as-siddiq. No, O daughter of as-siddiq, O daughter of binta Abi Bakr, daughter of Abu Bakr. He said, indeed, it is the man, walakinnahu al-rajul yasumu wa yatasaddaq wa yusalli wa huwa yakhafu alla yutaqabbala minhu. Indeed, it's the man that he fasts and he gives and he prays. And think about, subhanAllah, us referring to this hadith, we see that we in this month, many of us did all of these actions. So, but where's the end? وَهُوَ يَخَافُ أَلَّا يُتَقَبَّلَ مِنْ. That he fears that it won't be accepted from him. So he constantly tries and he tries and he tries, and he doesn't get self-deluded as some they do, unfortunately, thinking that Allah has to answer me, Allah has to accept from me, Allah has to and has to. Almost, wal-iyadu billah, challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the second point, that you always feel a shortcoming towards your deeds.
Sheikh, let's get to some comments. Some of the brothers reminding us about the dua we should say on the odd nights. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afa fa'fu anna. Excellent. Barakallahu feek. Oh Allah, you are the pardoning, you love to pardon, so pardon us. So keep mentioning this, dear brothers and sisters. It is the 29th night, potentially the night of decree. In'am mentions, I also feel that Ramadan went by so quick. It taught me that it is possible to change your habits and get closer to Allah. It put me in a better routine, alhamdulillah. Excellent points there, which I think we'll touch upon.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
You want to comment on that, Sheikh?
So definitely, maybe we can put that under the comment to take responsibility. SubhanAllah, outside of Ramadan, you see so many people struggling to leave off a certain sin, possibly, you know, claiming they're addicted or obsessed with something specifically. Yeah. Then Ramadan comes. And subhan al-Khaliq, Allahu A'lam if thou say it's because the devils are chained. But yes. Allah Azza wa Jal, wallahi, if you're with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will be with you. And if you ask Allah for support, Allah will support you. And if you have that taqwa and you perform and fulfill the obligations, stay away from the prohibitions, Allah Azza wa Jal will make things easy for you. And that was one of the fruits we mentioned of taqwa.
That's right.
That was one of the fruits of وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Many of us were used to وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And that is a verse, of course, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, whoever fears Allah, whoever has the taqwa of Allah, then Allah will make a way out for him. But a few verses later, Allah says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, and whoever fears of Allah, whoever has this taqwa of Allah, then Allah will make easy for him, and he'll make the affairs easy for him. So we need to constantly, subhanAllah, contemplate upon this as well. And we see that any deed or any sin, sorry, that you think you could stop or you stopped in Ramadan, you can do that outside of Ramadan, Allah. That's why as well. And that's why, subhanAllah, a lot of it is that mental game. It's that mind game, subhanAllah. Yes, no doubt that it is obviously part physical and the likes, but a lot of it is that mental game, which we've discussed, subhanAllah, previously. Jazakumullahu khairah for that comment. And we ask the brothers and sisters, keep the comments going. What's your plans for after Ramadan? Some of the points which, subhanAllah, are so important are the masajid, sticking to the masajid, sticking with the mashayikh and ulama, sticking around good brothers. SubhanAllah, I was talking to a brother earlier today, and we were saying about the sunnah prayers. And he was saying pretty much that he's doing i'tikaf as well. And he was saying that when he's at the mosque, it's easier for him to do the sunnah prayers. And that's probably the reality of a lot of us. Yeah. When we're in the mosque, maybe waiting for the fard prayer or just after the fard prayer, it's easier. Not just that we're in the mosque, the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, a blessed place and the likes, but also we see others do it, so it makes it easier for us. Just like when we see others suffering and we ourselves are suffering, it lightens that suffering and the likes. Wallahi, being around good brothers, being around good places, and the best of them being the masajid, the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal, being around good knowledge and a good environment, people with a good mindset, positive and the likes, this is from the best of things.
So you try to, you know, keep doing what you were doing in Ramadan, out of Ramadan,
as much as you can.
And that will make you, you know, most likely, in all reality, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, a better Muslim all year round, you know, being in the masjid for salawat, for example.
Definitely.
A lot easier to seek knowledge in the masjid.
Yeah,
your so azkar, your dua, and the rest of it.
And subhanAllah, one of the important points too is don't try, brothers and sisters, necessarily compete with yourself as you were in Ramadan. What do I mean by that? Just so I don't get misunderstood. Yes, you always try your best. As a believer, always try your best. But the reality is, for many of us, Ramadan is a time that we might take time off work. We might, you know, yes. have, subhanAllah, more opportunities, free time that we have to worship Allah. Not free time as in free time meaning doing nothing. There's always something to do 100%. As a believer. And that statement of killing time and the likes, we, as believers, you know, throw that in the bin, the killing time aspect. But subhanAllah, يعني, meaning that in Ramadan, of course, a lot of us are freer, away from the dunya, away from even our work, sometimes even our businesses and the likes. For if you're outside of Ramadan, let's just say, you know, you were reading a juz' a day in Ramadan, you wanted to finish the Quran. If you can't get that outside of Ramadan because of other commitments naturally, like what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hanzala radiallahu anhu, sa'a wa sa'a, there's a time for this and a time for this. Balance, يعني, between the dunya matters and the deen matters, of course. But if you can't reach that which you were doing in Ramadan, and most of us can't and most of us won't, don't beat yourself over it. Just keep pushing. Also beware of leaving off the good deeds, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abdullah ibn Umar, and some of the narrations Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, he said, do not be like so and so. He used to pray the night and then he left it. He used to pray the night and then he left it. For I tell you, my brothers and sisters, don't be like those who used to have a connection with the Book of Allah in Ramadan, then they left it. Who used to pray some night prayers, then they left them. Who used to fast some days, then they left them. There's so many good deeds, subhanAllah, that we can do and continue to do, both in and outside of Ramadan. So it's very important that we try our best. But as I said, don't beat yourself up if you're not exactly the way you were in Ramadan.
Excellent advice, Sheikh. What do we have next, Sheikh?
We also have just questioning ourselves, because we all know the purpose of Ramadan was to attain that taqwa. So now that we're farewelling Ramadan, we need to ask ourselves, wallah, did we see a change? Did we see something, yani, leaving Ramadan from ourselves that is different to entering Ramadan? If the answer is I'm exactly the same, or if the answer is even worse than that, which is I took a back step or a back pedal, and now I'm leaving worse, I'm leaving angrier, I'm leaving with less patience, I'm leaving, you know, not having done anything or done less. You know, some brothers possibly might have taken time off work supposedly for Ramadan, but slept all day and all night. Maybe if you're a brother or sister that you're leaving Ramadan, subhanAllah, worse than when you entered, as the hadith says, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ. You got no one to blame except yourselves. But learn from your mistakes. Every believer, he learns from his mistakes. Even those that did well and did good and done so much, they even learn, where did I go wrong? Where was some obstacles? Where were the barriers? So that I can make that change and I can see and things like this. But it's very important that we ask ourselves, have we attained at-taqwa? Did we reach the status and the stage or the level of the muttaqoon and muttaqeen? Did we do that which, or attain that which Allah wanted from us? Did we leave Ramadan better than the way we entered it? For if yes, then alhamdulillah, what are the actions which we can do and be consistent upon outside? You know, no doubt that there are some that knock on the doors or knock on every door of goodness. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he's right. One of the companions that will be, you know, allowed to enter Jannah through any of the eight gates. Any of the eight gates, he can enter Jannah, subhanAllah, radiallahu anhu, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned. But some people might be better at one thing or two things, for example. You might be someone that Allah blessed with so much wealth. Tayyib, give charity. This could be your door. This could be your field. It doesn't mean don't try with others, but it means still do that which is good from this aspect. Or maybe you're able to stand the night, or maybe you're able to fast the days. Whatever it is, try your best to capitalize on the blessings Allah gave you and He's given us a lot. And still try to knock on the door of every other field or every other, you know, type of goodness, but still focus on that which you know you can do, and you know, remain consistent. Steadfastness is so important, and that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he advised the companion, he says, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah. It's easy to do that though. Or at least, يعني, many can do that. But the next part is, or could be more difficult. ثُمَّ أَسْتَقِمْ, and then be steadfast upon that. Someone could practice Ramadan, and then outside of Ramadan, as we say, he, you know, doesn't see the Book of Allah. He doesn't see the Masajid. And that's why that phrase, Ramadan Muslims, even though I know many don't like that, but at the end of the day, at the same time, are we not going to mention that, or are we not going to, for example, give that advice because it might hurt someone? Tayyib, sometimes some people need to get hurt. Meaning, sometimes some people need to get put in their places. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with lost property, when someone announced it in the masjid, he said, may Allah never return it to you. May Allah never return it to you. So sometimes we need to remind the brothers of the punishments, even if they're going to get scared. We need to remind the brothers of the repercussions and the consequences and the likes. That's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, with his famous statement, he says, بِئْسَ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَعْرِفُونَ لِلَّهِ حَقًّا إِلَّا فِي رَمَضَانِ. What evil people, they don't know Allah's right except in Ramadan. Yani, this isn't the way we should be as Muslims as well. So it's not enough just to say, wallah, don't say this because you might hurt people's feelings and things like this. Tayyib, maybe, but through that, this brother and this sister are going to get that wake-up call and things like this. I don't want to go on too much off track, subhanAllah, but it is important to try to be as steadfast as you can, and especially with the acts of worship. As I said, we were doing Ramadan. You're on a roll, keep the ball rolling. You know, subhanAllah, Sheikh, sometimes when someone's, you know, especially the older generation, the older people, when they're sick, they, you know, sometimes they might be walking every day. They're fine, they're walking every day. And as soon as they stop that for a week due to sickness or another reason, they find themselves, they can't walk anymore after that. It's like their joints went solid or solidified, you know, and things like this. They keep the ball rolling. Because subhanAllah, sometimes the most difficult thing is when you stop the ball from rolling, sometimes the most difficult thing is to get it started again. Subhanallah. So if you're reading Quran now and you completely stop after Ramadan, sometimes from the hardest thing is to restart that reading. Likewise fasting, likewise giving, likewise all of these actions.
Sheikh, can we say from the signs of an accepted Ramadan is being persistent and steady and regular in your deeds after Ramadan?
No doubt about it. That's from the great signs, and it is definitely from the signs of an accepted Ramadan that Allah blesses you. Because subhanAllah, we said that you being steadfast, you worshipping is all from Allah Azza wa Jal. So if Allah blesses you and guides you to doing good, then inshallah ta'ala, this is a great sign. And it's also a test though. It's also a test. Because with you doing good and through you doing good, Allah Azza wa Jal wants to see you be thankful. So if you are ungrateful and then you become arrogant through your doing of good, then this is a problem, subhanAllah. So once again, goes back to the aspect of steadfastness and be thankful and grateful to Allah that He guided you to that steadfastness and to that guidance. And inshallah ta'ala, yani, that is definitely a sign of accepted Ramadan.
Sheikh, we'll take another comment. Mila, if I'm pronouncing it right. Jazakumullahu khairan to both of you. Sheikh Khalid has a very, very considerate approach to dealing with people. He sure does. Nowadays, a lot of us are very hard on ourselves. It is comforting to hear that naturally after Ramadan, we will not be as active with ibadah as much as we like to. May Allah allow us to always improve ourselves daily.
Ameen. And that's exactly what we were saying. So pretty much, I'm assuming all of us, I personally don't know anyone that is, you know, worships more outside of Ramadan than in Ramadan. And that's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of examples. He was the most generous in Ramadan. He was more. He was, you know, the most knowledgeable regarding the Quran. The Quran was revealed to him. But in Ramadan, even more, for example. And all of these things, for likewise us as well, definitely we're going to maybe see that drop or even that iman boost, you know, drop as well. Things like this. We need to know how to address these. Less, subhanAllah, we end up, you know, beating ourselves up. And sometimes shaitan will attack you through that. He will attack you through that. You know how we say once you get beaten, you want to stand back up, for example. Once you get beaten, you put yourself down, shaitan will try to keep you down. So try your best to pick yourself up. Keep going. Keep the ball rolling. And alhamdulillah, inshaAllah ta'ala, at least you have something to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sheikh, I'm not too sure if you're going to mention it later on. I find one of the best pieces of advice I've received regarding staying steady after Ramadan is to enroll yourself in a course or attend regular lessons in the masjid, structured lessons.
Well, maybe subhanAllah, I wasn't going to mention that today, but I was hoping that we can follow it up maybe next week or the week after with that signs of an accepted Ramadan or, you know, what next. But definitely, Sheikh, as you said, subhanAllah, I don't understand, subhanAllah, sometimes when we see brothers and sisters not studying, not learning. I can't fathom the fact. I try to empathize. I'm a very, as the sister mentioned, subhanAllah, I am a very, you know, empathetic person. Try to put yourselves in other shoes and things like this. But how can one fathom, that a brother or sister living in Sydney, Australia, where generally, yani, finances are not the biggest deal because alhamdulillah, there's support from multiple sources and things like this, not pushing and brushing aside some of the struggling families and the likes, of course, as I said, we empathize and the likes, but I can't fathom how some cannot attend a class for an hour or 2 hours a week, especially, Sheikh, as you know, and the brothers and sisters, I'm sure the listeners, they know, there's something offered every day. Sometimes in every time of the day, for example, free courses, paid courses, structured courses, random courses, whatever it is. For definitely, Sheikh, one of the best ways to remain steadfast after Ramadan is to come to the lessons. And not just lessons as in sit there live, which is, of course, maybe the last resort at home, but come to the masjid, even for the sisters. Even the ulama, they would say regarding the hadith, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله, do not prohibit the female slaves of Allah from the masajid of Allah. When some of the ulama would comment upon this, they would say it's not just for the prayer, but also for them to come and mix. Maybe maybe they need to, for example, you know, get out a little bit. They need to study. They need to learn. Yes, Allah has blessed us with so many different options regarding the internet and YouTube and courses online and things like this. But definitely you can't compare something like this to somewhere in the masjid.
Nothing
with
like
the sheikh and the likes. And as you said, sheikh, that is from the best ways to remain steadfast.
For my brothers and sisters who haven't had, you know, the chance or, you know, the opportunity yet to attend regular structured lessons, whether it be a course or a structured lesson with a sheikh or teacher who's going through a book like Sheikh Khaled does, Allahumma barik lahu, on a weekly basis, or courses where they teach texts and the like, there's nothing alike. Like, let's be frank, we've studied online. Let's put it out there. And we've studied, alhamdulillah, with mashayikh and ulama in the Muslim world and here in the West. You can't compare the two. It's incomparable.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Even what you get, Sheikh, even the memorizing aspect, 100%. The understanding aspect, everything. As you said, you can't compare the differences between the heavens and the earth.
So put it in your, you know, as a goal, I'm going to attend a regular lesson or course in the masjid in person. Weekly, bi'idhnillah.
And to separate brothers and sisters, just so nobody misunderstands too, there's a major difference between going to what we refer to as that pump-up lecture and going to a structured course and lesson. You know, as you said, Sheikh, not just alhamdulillah that Allah has blessed us to study both online and in person with being overseas and in Australia and the likes, but Allah has blessed us also to teach, for example. And often you see, subhanAllah, very basic points. Once again, empathizing with the person, subhanAllah, but sometimes you see from the most basic of points and people, brothers and sisters are absolutely shocked. They can't, you know, get their head around it. Maybe they grew up, subhanAllah, understanding it wrong, being told differently. For brothers and sisters, wallahi, knowledge is light. Those points which you go, and it's something which is generally basic and, you know, would be known for anyone who attends a lesson, wallah, it's gold. You come across that point, you thank Allah Azza wa Jal that He blessed you. The more you learn, the more you see the darkness outside, the more you see the misconceptions, the misunderstandings, the more you see the added pressure people put on themselves, which it's not from the deen, the more you see the innovations. And subhanAllah, as it was Sheikh Nasim said, you know, not long ago, which is what the ulama have said, you know, past and present, that man is an enemy to that which he's ignorant of. Man is an enemy to that which is ignorant of. So when you, subhanAllah, don't know, you're going to be an enemy to that thing. You're not going to understand. You're not going to fathom that thing, subhanAllah. So when you go and you learn, you realize, hold on a second, that I'm seeing so much around me that this is a lot of wrong. This is maybe a lot of innovation. This is a lot of even shirk possibly. And like, for knowledge is light. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you, my brother. And Allah has blessed you, my sister, to be in an area. There's a lot of it there. A lot of it for free. Alhamdulillah. What excuse do we have?
Just the ASWJ centers in New South Wales, for an example, like Masjid Al-Azhar Belmore, ASWJ Auburn, ASWJ Reevesby, GIYC in Kasula, CYC in Campbelltown, and Masjid al-Salam all the way out there in Wollongong. A shout out to Sheikh Nasim. If you see their programs, Allahumma barak, you're spoiled for choice.
And that's just
the ASWJ centers. We're not talking about, you know, the other masajid
and what they're offering.
You know? So maybe the tech team inside can put the links to all those pages of the ASWJ centers or the ASWJ Australia page, and the brothers and sisters can follow up there. Abu Omar, I think it is, says, Barakallah fikum, very beneficial topic. Excellent.
Barakallahu feek, akhi.
Sheikh, we got any more points?
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention just that hadith of Handala I was referring to earlier, brothers and sisters. For those who haven't heard the hadith, and we have said it a couple of times on this this segment, if you'd like to say, is that Handala was a great companion who went out and he started to say that Handala is a hypocrite. And this is what I meant, subhanAllah, don't expect yourself to be like you were in Ramadan. And also don't expect yourself to be like you were when you were around those, you know, if you'd like to say, more knowledgeable people and the likes. Meaning, Handala said Handala is a hypocrite. This is a great companion. And someone might think this is a companion. He's saying that about himself. And this goes back to, once again, thanking Allah, asking Allah to accept and things like this, which is going to be one of the next points. So Abu Bakr saw him radiallahu anhu. What do you mean? What are you saying, O Handala? He said, Handala is a hypocrite. When I'm with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he speaks about Jannah, it's as if I can see it with my eyes. When I'm with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he speaks about the hellfire, it's as if I can see it with my eyes. And then Abu Bakr pretty much agreed. That's the same way he was feeling. And think about this now, brothers and sisters. You're in Ramadan. You're worshipping. You're on that iman high. You're this and that. And then you leave Ramadan, naturally you lose that boost, because that was one of Handal's complaints, that when we're away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that kind of diminishes. So when they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he pretty much told him at the end of the hadith, however, Handal, there's a time for this and a time for this, implying that we can't be on that level and that state, if you'd like to say, 24/7 constantly. It's gonna drop. Iman goes up, down, increases, decreases, to the extent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what means, or to the meaning of, if you were like this constantly, the angels would have even shaken your hands, subhanallah, in the streets and in your beds. So this is something so important. Moving on to the next point, which is a branch off to this point, don't compare yourselves always with others. So yes, Islamically, we look upon those who are below us in respect to the dunya, and those who are upon us, or above us, sorry, in respect to the deen. So when we, for example, look to those memorizing Quran, let us look at those who've memorized the whole Quran. Let us look at those who've memorized the Qiraat. Let us look at the 10, 11, 12-year-old boys and girls who've memorized the whole Quran off by heart and don't make a single mistake with even a haraka. And that would, inshallah, encourage us. But what I mean by this point now is, if you, for example, my brother, are working 12, 13 hours a day, 6 days a week, then don't necessarily, once again, bash yourself and beat yourself if you can't read as much Quran as the one, for example, that is working 2 or 3 hours. You, my sister, who has maybe 6 or 7 kids, 5 or 6 kids, 4 or 5 kids, has kids. Don't look at yourself like the one that is newly married and has no kids, and she's got time to read Quran all day. She has none of these distractions around her and the likes. Yes, try your best to compete. Try your best to be better. No. Try your best to reach that and supersede that. But once again, if you can't, don't forget, you're not like them and they're not like you. You have your situation, they have their situation. So that is also very important, that everyone has different circumstances. And the last point we have is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly to accept your deeds. So yes, we've done what we've done, alhamdulillah, but from the way of the righteous and the way of the pious is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the good deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim assalam, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And remember when Ibrahim and Ismail were raising the foundations of the house, the Kaaba, and as they were raising the foundations, they're saying, our Lord, accept from us. Indeed, you are the all-hearer, the all-seer. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says about Maryam alayha salam in Surah Maryam or Surah Ali Imran, إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And remember when the wife of Imran said, oh my Lord, I vow to you, which is the mother here of Maryam, I vow to you the child in my womb to be dedicated to you. So accept this from me. So asking Allah to accept the deed is so important. And subhanallah, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he would say, if Allah would accept from me just 2 rak'at, I would be content, because Allah only accepts from the righteous or the good doers or those with taqwa and the likes. So it is very important that after the deed as well, not only you thank Allah Azza wa Jal and praise Allah for that, and not only you try to be as steadfast as you can by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, but you ask Allah to accept that deed from you. As some of the salaf would come, it's been narrated that they would ask Allah to accept the month they fast and the likes for 5 or 6 months after Ramadan.
Hamoudi says, pump ups are good once a month, but having a relationship with the masjid on the regular with structured lessons keeps you connected to the deen. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless all the mashayikh. May Allah bless you as well.
And subhanallah, that brother, Jazahullah Khaira, reminded me, subhanallah, of the follow-on point. I actually missed that. I forgot to mention that I was going to say. So when we spoke about, we're not intending the pump-ups, my beloved brother, Barakallahu Fik, pump-ups are needed every now and then. And this is something that, subhanallah, yani could, you know, excite you once again or spark that once again. But don't forget the priorities. Don't forget the project. As you said so beautifully, yani, the asl and the foundation, if you'd like to say, subhanallah, yani, the iftar, the dinner, let that be the actual lessons, and then just the little salt at the end, just like the cake, for example, and what do they call the
sprinkles?
The sprinkles, or maybe, I forgot there's a word anyway, the something on the cake.
Spices? Not the spices. That's the food, the spices.
I don't know what kind of cake you have.
I don't know. That's... Maybe some people do have spices.
If someone remembers the saying, anyway, there's the icing.
The icing.
He
on the
didn't
cake.
Say it, there but I remembered it. I just want to see what our
he's just hungry.
the cherry on
the cherry
cake.
On top.
Yeah, that's all right as well. The cherry on the top.
Feels like
and I remember the stain, the icing on the cake. The icing is actually very important, but the cherry maybe you can do without.
Yes.
For the pump ups, let it be like the cherry on that cake. Subhanallah. We got another. We all feel like cake. Jazakumullah khair.
Team there a mic, I think.
Actually, this hot chocolate, subhanAllah,
yeah, kept me.
Wallahi, it's just getting better. I don't know if it's the ones making it.
We're having it daily. Here
what, Sheikh, was it the Pachi, our brothers?
It's the Pachi chocolate as well.
We got to give them another shout out. May Allah reward
them. The coffee and the hot chocolate. And even for the cups and for the machine. And the tech team got a relationship with the brothers there. And as we said at the start of the month, they gave us a machine, a coffee machine and some coffee.
And subhanAllah, Sheikh Yani, that brings another side point. I didn't even have this plan. But
go for it,
just very quickly, subhanAllah, that, you know, really you can support the da'wah in so many ways. Wallah, brothers and sisters, supporting the da'wah isn't only by giving financially, but supporting the da'wah can be done in so many different ways. As we've previously said about that man in Surah Yasin, when Allah tells us, subhanAllah, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That a man came from the end of town. He came running and three messengers were already there, yet he still took it upon himself to give that da'wah and say to the people, follow the messengers. For whatever you can do, my brother, whatever you can do, my sister, for the da'wah, support the da'wah in any way, shape and form. And we have that lesson on, I think it's the Masjid al-Azhar, which I gave a few years ago, the believer of Surah Yasin, if I recall correctly. You can go back to the YouTube page regarding that. For alhamdulillah, my brothers and sisters, farewelling Ramadan, you know, as we know, the hearts, subhanAllah, they yearn for seasons like this, and it's upon us that when these seasons they come, we make the most out of it. But alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal, the whole year has given us opportunities. So we do remind the brothers of Zakatul Fitr. We do remind the brothers and sisters as well of the 6 days of Shawwal coming up, subhanAllah, next month. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, Allah has and is so merciful to us. He's given us so many different seasons, so many different opportunities throughout the whole entire year. If I capitalize on these opportunities, how many of us remember, you know, the days of Arafah that we fasted, the days of, you know, Ramadan that we fasted, the days of Shawwal that we fasted, and all of these days throughout the year that we fast and we give, and 1, 2, 3, many of us have forgotten. But as we always say, Allah Azza wa Jal has not forgotten, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has stored that for us, inshallah, for the hereafter.
Barakallah fiqh, dear Sheikh. We have announcement regarding the Eid locations. Maybe the tech team can put the link to the post on the ASWJ for all the posters there. As we know, alhamdulillah, ASWJ hold prayer, Eid al-Fitr prayer at various locations. And you can find more info at eidinthepark.org.au or go to the ASWJ Australia Facebook page. As for the locations, and this is, bear in mind, pending wet weather, if there is a change, listen to Albayan Radio and follow our socials and eidinthepark.org.au. Now, as for Bankstown, in the Bankstown area, and this is where Masjid al-Azhar and ASWJ Rizvi will be praying, they will be at the Velodrome, Louisa Reserve, Carisfield Road, Bass Hill. And the wet weather location will be the Bankstown Markets, if required. And this is on the day Eid is announced, and we'll speak more about that very soon. And the Eid prayer will be at 8 a.m. on the day Eid prayer is announced. And as usual, bring a prayer mat and a chair. And also Eid prayer in Liverpool, Woodward Park, Netball Courts, Hoxton Park Road, Liverpool. The Eid prayer there will be at 8 a.m. Eid prayer at Campbelltown, CYC, will be at the Minto Netball Courts, 9 Redfern Road, Minto, and they'll be praying at 7:45 a.m. Minto Netball Courts at Campbelltown. And at Wollongong will be the Wollongong Sports Hub. Wollongong Sports Hub at 7:45. As we said, it is the 29th of Ramadan. Tomorrow night, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will have our Sheikh and Amir of ASWJ Australia, Sheikh Zuhair, in the studio live for any potential Eid announcement. If the moon is sighted tomorrow night, dear Sheikh, then Ramadan is 29 days. Eid al-Fitr will be
on the Wednesday, inshallah.
On the Wednesday. If it's not sighted, whether locally or regionally, then we will complete Ramadan 30 days, meaning we'll fast Wednesday, and Eid will be Thursday.
And inshallah ta'ala, the brothers and sisters, of course, can stay updated with all the social media.
That's it.
And likewise, myself as well, will be inshallah leading the prayer in Greenacre, the prayer and khutbah at Lockwood Park. And if any problems, any rain, of course, due to wet weather and the likes, we'll be at inshallah Brotherhood Boxing.
Excellent. In Greenacre there. Good old home. Shout out to all the brothers and sisters in Greenacre. Keep it real. Yeah. May Allah guide you and bless you all. Barakallah feekum. We like to muck around with Greenacre, but we got to be fair because we give it a lot to Liverpool. And now, you know, most of our staff is from one area in Liverpool. It's absolutely amazing. Do you know where?
Where?
They reckon the best suburb in Liverpool.
Not Kasula.
No. Busby.
Busby. I was next door in Sadliya, subhanAllah. Right. I wasn't too far off.
Good old Chef Nassim is from Busby, and our tech man, our tech team.
From Busby as well.
From Busby, yeah, so I'm outnumbered here.
Well, may Allah bless him for making the effort too. And all the brothers and sisters, all the mashayikh, you know, the travels, inshallah, the rewards are with Allah Azza wa Jal. Every step, every inshallah, turn of the wheel, every drive, every second, inshallah, with the correct intentions, of course, Allah will reward.
Barakallahu fikdi, Shaykh. Now, stay tuned tomorrow to Al Bayan for any more new announcements regarding Eid and prayer locations. Barakallahu feekum. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.